Welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Kieran.
Hello.
And Harry.
Hello.
It's just the three of us today, and right off the bat, I have to apologize for what is a late episode this week. Scheduling was a nightmare, and we've got James off gallivanting around Japan. It's just like getting a little bit harder to organize these at the moment, so appreciate your patience. But with that said, we've got plenty to talk about today. We've got two new Marvel games that have been announced, a potential AAA live service title in the works at Sony Bend, and the Stellar Blade demo dropping as well. I mean, you're going to hear about that. But first, let's talk about Grand Theft Auto 6 potentially being delayed until 2026. According to a recent Kotaku report, the return to office mandate and the complaints and complexity that have kind of arisen as a result of that policy are threatening to delay the release of the game until Grand Theft Auto 6 in a year, so from the anticipated 2025 release to 2026. Firstly, perhaps to you, Kieran, can you see the game shifting to 2026, and what impact do you think that's likely to have for the team over at Rockstar?
I mean, 2025, like, if it slips from that, I would not be surprised, even without all this other, like, the rest of the story around this.
Sure.
If they had just said, hey, it's being pushed back to 2026, I wouldn't be surprised, because it's obviously, like, the biggest game, and there's a lot riding on it, and there's probably a lot of new stuff they're doing with it. But it, in terms of impact at Rockstar, I feel like it doesn't matter when they release this. I think people will wait. And obviously, you know, with all the rumors of, you know, mid-gen refresh consoles and all that stuff coming out later is going to be better as well.
Yeah, I don't think it was too long ago we were kind of hearing, you know, some shareholder meetings and stuff. They're coming out saying, like, we're anticipating a big year next year. And that's kind of what tipped everyone off to the possibility of Grand Theft Auto 6 kind of coming out. But surely, yeah, like, with the money that GTA 5 still brings in, like, even today, they could, like, this game could be another 10 years away, and the chances are they'd still be fine financially, right? That being said, like, yeah, I sort of feel like the return to office mandate, I've got to be careful what I say now, but having been in the studio at the time that people were kind of coming back to the office post-pandemic, I know that it was not favorably received by a lot of the development team, and did have, like, genuine complexity, and that a lot of work was put into, like, allowing people to work remotely and kind of detangling that. And, you know, even just, like, and I'm sure anyone can relate, kind of, if they've been encouraged to go back to the office post-COVID. Like, suddenly you've got to rejig things in your life, and it maybe does slow you down for a bit. And yeah, I think the pressure will be on them, right, to kind of build upon GTA 5 and have more flip-flops flopping and all of the crazy details that they had in the previous, right?
It's one of the back-of-the-box features, flipping flops.
Yeah, I really hope it doesn't kind of result in the sort of crunch that that Rockstar's got a bad reputation for. But that's like, an inevitability.
Yes, I guess speaking more to, like, the human side of it, it's tough. Because, like, obviously, I mean, their messaging was, or the messaging, I guess, that they hope is out there is that it's to do with security.
Yeah. You
know, all the leaks, all that kind of stuff. But that's, like, that comes at the cost of, yeah, obviously people, like, having to uproot their lives just to be at a physical location.
Yeah.
It's a lot. And yeah, like you said, I hope that I would rather they delay it than, you know, that happen to people and crunch happen to people.
Yeah, particularly, especially if people kind of hired on the premise that work, like, remote work was allowed.
For. Yeah. Yeah.
100%. What's your take on all this, Harry?
Yeah, I think you guys are pretty bang on with all of it. I think no matter, like, how long it takes, GTA Online will keep things afloat. Like, that thing's a cash cow. Like, there's a reason that we haven't seen a Red Dead port to, like, current gen where GTA 5 got one. And yeah, there's so much riding on it. Like, I think Rockstar, especially after Red Dead 2, have become known for these little details, and they sort of simulate worlds in a way that a lot of other studios don't. There's a lot of things that they do that are really interesting that obviously would take so much work. And I think, yeah, it's not really a surprise. Like, Rockstar aren't really strangers to delays. I think Red Dead was delayed a couple times, Red Dead 2, if memory serves. And I mean, people are going to wait for it anyway, and it's going to sell anyway. And like you said, I don't think there's a world where it launches and doesn't succeed. But the impact that it would have on Rockstar if it wasn't quite up to scratch would be, I don't know, people would be talking about it for a long time after waiting so long. So, yeah,
I guess like they'd be nervous as well, kind of seeing what's happened to CD Projekt Red.
And, yeah, like studios that were meant to be like infallible in people's eyes.
You know, I think coming Rockstar off like a major open world release and kind of following up with the next big thing, and it just kind of falling flat on its face. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't see it being technical things, but I kind of see it maybe kind of coming down to it's just kind of a rehash of the same thing and not kind of sufficiently building in. You know, they set a very high standard for themselves, and I'm sure that creates a ton of pressure internally.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I like you guys. I think they can probably afford to take their time with it, and I'm sure it'll still be very successful at launch no matter what sort of state it is or isn't in. Harry, I don't know if we've had your opinion on this, but do you think it'll launch with an online mode of any sorts, or how?
I'd say
how
probably
might
not
GTA Online,
if they're delaying it already.
Yeah.
Because I mean, yeah, GTA 5, they had the same thing. It was like a couple months after launch online came, and like all the people that are playing 5 right now will transition to 6 when online comes out inevitably anyway. So again, it's one of those things where like they could sit on it for a couple months, drop it, and it would still be just as successful as it was at launch. Like, I don't really think they have much to worry about in that regard.
Yeah. I remember when GTA Online like first dropped as well, it was like really quite bare bones. There was nowhere near the amount of content that is in it now. They've really expanded on it over time. So yeah, I kind of feel like they would do the same thing. And I can't imagine, like, despite people predominantly playing the online mode nowadays, I can't imagine that would hold people back from playing like the story of 6. I think people are going to be really just eager to kind of jump into a new world and meet new characters and tinker with the new systems. And obviously it worked out just fine with GTA 5. That was the biggest entertainment release of all time, right? I reckon they're just going to break that record again still.
And the same thing happened with Red Dead 2 as well. Like, everyone was playing Red Dead 2 when that came out, and that didn't launch with online, I don't think.
No. I think that was similar. It like came soon after, and again, it was like pretty bare bones to begin with. So yeah, that formula seems to be holding firm. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Rockstar. Maybe we'll see some new Marvel games in the meantime, if the timing works out. We had 2 announced this past week, which I can't remember the last time like 2 Marvel games got announced in like such quick succession. I don't know if this was planned or coincidental, but very cool the same. And first up, we had Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra, which is Skydance's new AAA game featuring Captain America and Black Panther. From games industry icon Amy Hennig. So stoked that I think, like, I've still got my fingers crossed, but hopefully we actually see a game of hers released this time. It's been a while. Kieran, I know we've only seen the story trailer for this one so far, so maybe not as much as we would have liked to have seen, but what are your thoughts and feelings around this one so far?
I'm super keen, mostly just because it is an Amy Hennig game. I'm sure everyone else like me is kind of burnt out on Marvel media at this stage. So it'll be interesting to see it in what I know are capable hands, especially when it comes to storytelling. So I think I'm very excited to see how that goes. And obviously the demo they showed, because it was at the Unreal Engine showcase, like, looked incredible. Obviously running on like a high end system, but running in real time, all the work that they're putting into making it cinematic, which is Amy Hennig's whole, deal. For people that like Uncharted and The Last of Us and all those sorts of like AAA cinematic single player narrative games, like, I'm sure it's gonna scratch that itch. So yeah, I'm keen.
Yeah. For those that don't know, Amy Hennig was like the creative director behind the Uncharted series, kind of. I don't know if she was for like the game director for each of the games, or like the creative director for each of them.
Lead writer, I believe.
Yeah. I think there was a bit of overlap between her and Neil Druckmann at the sort of time as well. But Uncharted is like her baby up until Uncharted 4. Yeah, so I'm really excited to see what she kind of brings in terms of storytelling. I think we got like a really cool setup in this trailer. I love the setting. It's kind of set in like Nazi-occupied France, which I think will be super sort of like a fascinating piece of Marvel history that we haven't really seen much of in this cinema. Oh, actually, no, I take that back. There's the early Captain America films, isn't there? But yeah, I kind of expect the story this time around to take quite an interesting approach, and particularly like with the with Captain America and Black Panther seemingly at odds with one another, kind of feel I got the sense that like they were there on the same sort of quest, the same sort of mission, but had different approaches kind of going into it or something. What about yourself, Harry? Does this game speak to you?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm a big Marvel head. I think they're like these are two characters that we really haven't seen properly explored in games before. Like I know the Black Panther expansion for Avengers was pretty well received, but to have like a focused story based game with the dynamic between Cap and Black Panther, especially in that time period, I think is really interesting. And I love the idea that they're kind of moving away from, you know, I think mainstream a lot of people know T'Challa as Black Panther, but they're going more into like the lineage of the character in that it's his his grandfather. And Hennig just has a really strong grasp on character writing and what makes interesting protagonists tick. So yeah, I think I'm really excited from a story perspective and really keen to see what they do gameplay wise. Like if it's a split story where you play as both and then you eventually come together to take down Hydra or whatever. I think it's like it's got so much potential. I'm really excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah, you're so right with her writing as well. Like, she really kind of lends herself, like, it's what Uncharted is, right? Like, these kind of blockbuster, kind of popcorn flick-esque things, but with these really likable characters that you kind of easily connect to. And I think that lends itself so well to Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah, excited to see this one come together. The other Marvel game that was announced just in the last day or so was Marvel Rivals, which is a 6v6 online multiplayer hero shooter from developer... is it Neoties? Neeties?
NetEase, I think, yeah.
NetEase, thank you, sorry.
Neoties.
Yeah, yeah. Neoties. I thought I had mistyped.
That's
it
like the Matrix,
reason,
like fan,
I was like,
fan site that I go onto.
How do I piece together this compound word again? NetEase. NetEase. I need a hyphen in there or something to like remind me. Kieran, what sort of interest do you have in an Overwatch-esque Marvel game? That's kind of what it looks like, right?
Yeah. Absolutely none. I don't know, like I don't get into like the hero shooter thing. Like I guess like if they introduce cool enough heroes, like they've got quite a few already, but like, you know, when they have those the games like this are good for like when they have those event like introductions, they're like, hey, like this new character's coming and you like jump in and like mess around with it for a bit, like Fortnite, I guess. That's probably as far as my interest goes.
Yeah, I'm kind of keen to give this one a bit of a go. I haven't really played Overwatch like at all recently, but when the game first came out, I played heaps, and then everyone got really good at it, and I didn't, so I kind of fell away.
Yeah, that's
away
why
from
I
it.
Don't play.
But I really loved what it did, and I'm kind of keen to see how that kind of formula of sorts kind of lends itself to a Marvel game. I'd have thought it'd be pretty well suited to it.
I mean, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, balance is always going to be a tricky thing, I guess, like between these characters, particularly when they've got such different sort of abilities.
Yeah,
I don't know what sort of history NetEase has kind of working in like a competitive sort of multiplayer scene, but that will be interesting to see if they kind of get that all finely tuned. But yeah, and I'm kind of want to get hands on with this based on the kind of gameplay we saw in the trailer. It looked kind of neat.
I did appreciate. I did appreciate like the team up stuff they had. So like if one person's playing as like Rocket Raccoon and one person's playing as Groot, you can kind of like jump on his back and like work together. Like stuff like that's cool.
Yeah. And it looked and like if you were playing as Doctor Strange, you could like open up portals and there was like kind of traversal bonuses that people had and stuff. Like all really clever kind of things. One of the ultimates looked like Hulk Smash, which is kind of dope. What about yourself, Farad? Is this tick any of your boxes?
I don't know. I think when there were like rumblings, I thought it sounded really interesting and something I would be down for. I think it's a really great fit. Like you have so many cool characters that you could add to this as well if it's successful. But like the trailer gives more of like a Smite vibe instead of Overwatch, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But like, I don't know. I guess I kind of expected something else, so the trailer didn't really do much for me. I think I'll definitely check it out, just because I think the idea has a lot of potential, and if they work it out, it'll be cool. But yeah, I think it's good that like there's going to be another game in the space to sort of compete with Overwatch, because there really isn't much else there if you want to get into that. And Overwatch can be like famously sweaty, if you want to take it like even a little bit seriously. So yeah, I think it's cool that it's happening. I'll definitely check it out, but I'm not as like ecstatic for it as I thought I would be when there were like initial rumblings about it. So yeah.
Well, I think there is going to be a closed beta or a closed alpha happening in May. So yeah, if you are interested, go and check out the link for that over on Press Start and get yourself signed up. All right, sticking with the game news, I'm kind of reluctant to talk about this one much more because I just feel like we've really dragged on about this as a topic. I'm talking about
live service strategy.
The live service strategy over at Sony. But according to a job listing that's been uncovered by GamesRadar, Sony Bend reportedly hiring for talent with live service experience, leading people to believe that they're working on some sort of AAA title, live service title. Harry, I might come back to you next on this. Do you believe it that they are working on a live service title? Obviously this isn't a confirmed thing, but if so, is there anything in particular you would like to see them do?
I don't know if it just seems like a weird one after like Days Gone didn't really perform how I think Sony wanted it to, and how, you know, like the people that really enjoy first party PlayStation games wanted it to. So it just seems weird that Sony would throw them into a live service thing, which like obviously hasn't worked out for so many studios. It's a bit of a weird one. I don't know if there's anything that could really get me interested. Like as it is, I only really have time for one live service game, which is Destiny. I don't know, there has to be something that's really interesting in something else for me to like peel off that and invest time in something else.
Are you still playing Destiny? Like, are you picking it up every so often?
I am. Yeah, I play it quite regularly actually. Destiny is ramping up to like its 10-year conclusion in June with the next expansion, so that's definitely part of why a lot of people are still playing it. So I don't know, maybe if Ben comes out with something really interesting at a time when people want to pivot out of Destiny to something new, because it's going to be a jump-off point for a lot of people, it could be quite successful. But I mean, it's a genre or like a framework that famously just hasn't done very well, so yeah.
Mm. What about yourself, Kieran? How does any of it sit with you?
I don't know. Like, part of me isn't surprised because the worst part of Days Gone was the fucking grind. Mm. So I'm like, well, they're set up for success in the live service area if that's what they're good at. But I don't know. Like, it is what it is. It very well could be that just that they're hiring to get someone on the team with knowledge of that in case, you know, they're like, oh, we have potential to add live service elements to this game we're already working on. Like, it doesn't obviously doesn't mean that they're straight up just, you know, we're making a live service game. And they've been doing something, whatever they're doing, for a while already. So, like, it'd be weird for them to be like, oh, yeah, we're going to start this up now.
Yeah, that was my thinking. Because, like, they've presumably been developing something for a wee while. So, if they're only just now going, you know what, it's kind of weird. We've got Node on the team with live service experience. And they kind of did it kind of quietly or whatever. I suppose that's a possibility.
Yeah. It's possible that, like, the success of Helldivers has sort of spurred Sony on to keep on with it and try and find other successes in the framework.
Yeah, it almost could be that, you know, with all the restructuring and cutbacks that Sony's been making, maybe Ben's project fell through and they're going to, you know, support on Horizon or whatever other live service stuff that they've still got going on. Like, it's really hard to... I feel like it's just hard to tell what Sony's doing at all at the moment.
Yeah.
With any of their studios.
You got to think there's been some pivots, right? I no wonder how influential Bungie was kind of coming into the fold, because obviously we know that there are feedback on Factions over at Naughty Dog was quite impactful, to say the least. And I wonder if, like, maybe they kind of tried the full range of PlayStation Studio games and kind of said, yep, like this needs work, scrap this, that kind of thing. Like maybe they gave advice like that, and this one was one that, you know, assuming it is the case, maybe this is one they were like, yeah, this has got legs. But yeah, I don't know. I also sort of feel like Sony Bend, with like Days Gone, I think it's kind of got a bit of a cult following, but I don't think it did terribly well, broadly speaking, not kind of like critically, not commercially to the same extent that like Horizon or The Last of Us or Spider-Man has. So maybe they kind of see Sony Bend as like, okay, like we want you to experiment, find a new IP, try a different genre, that sort of thing. Maybe there's kind of like they're a little less risk adverse with them as a studio. That being said, like it's frustrating when, you know, maybe they could have been making an Uncharted game again, or I don't know. Should they adapt Days Gone into a live service title? Like, does that make sense? Kind of something almost like State of Decay.
Fill the void left by The Last of Us.
Yeah.
I think it's like kind of the biggest problem is that like you're putting this talent to things that probably won't take off, like historically haven't. And I think that's why people were so bummed about Suicide Squad, because you have a studio like as talented as Rocksteady. And like the game might necessarily not be terrible. Like by all accounts, I've heard Suicide Squad is fine. But that could have been, you know, who another excellent Batman game or like a Flash game.
It's fine. Fine is the word I'd use.
Exactly. When it could have been like another fantastic DC superhero game or something entirely original, you know? Like,
yeah. I think I might actually be jumping back into Suicide Squad this weekend to give the Joker a go.
Oh, they just released it, didn't they?
Yeah.
Today, I think.
Anyhow, if that eventuates, I will report back on that next week, let you know how I'm going with that game. Anyhow, the live service.
I'm gonna come back next week in full face paint.
I was gonna say like damage written across your head, like
just covered in face tattoos. Can you imagine? Oh wow. You're welcome not to invite me back if that's what I look like. All right, let's crack on then. I want to ask you about Stellar Blade. Kieran, I think you managed to get some time hands-on with the demo that's come out. Is that right?
Yeah, well, the demo's not out yet. It's
So it's more of a preview for you then.
Tomorrow or the day after, depending on whenever people are listening to this, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a preview, but everyone's going to be able to play it very, very soon.
Cool. What did you make of it?
I quite enjoyed it. It was, like, I think I had the same reaction to, like, a lot of the other previews and stuff that I've read, and, like, that it's very different to what I was expecting.
Uh-huh.
I think myself and most people were expecting, like, a Bayonetta in terms of, like, in the realm of action games, like, in terms of the feel and everything. But it's closer to, like, something like Sekiro.
Oh.
Because it's not in, like, the difficulty stakes, because it is, like, a lot more forgiving than, like, a Souls-like.
Right.
It has Souls-like elements, but more, like, the combat is very considered and a little bit weightier and more about parrying and countering and stuff than
I just straight up like hack and slash. I thought it was just a fast and flashy hack and slash, but it sounds much more kind of methodical.
I remember we were discussing it like when that last trailer came out, and we were like, those look like Dark Souls bosses, but like there's no way that this is like a Souls game. But it kind of is a little bit. So that was immediately kind of interesting, but the combat's got a really, really good rhythm. Like, it feels really good to play. The game's gorgeous. Like, level design wise, it's hard to tell because it's just like the one area that you get in the demo, but it's you standard kind of like semi-linear, like a little bit of exploration and puzzle solving and stuff, but otherwise mostly just running through and like beating up bad guys.
So it was like a level, it wasn't like a part of like an open world.
It was a level, it definitely feels like it'll just be like stage by stage.
Cool.
And not like a big connected world.
Awesome.
But again, it's hard to say without actually having access to the full thing. But yeah, there's like some Souls-like elements, because like obviously you can like rest at a camp and it respawns the enemies around you, but that's not like your checkpoints. You have separate checkpoints where you get a full heal and all your items back and stuff if you die, so it's like kind of an in-between. And yeah, I don't know, it's just really cool. There's some nice little quality of life stuff. You get like whenever you unlock, like every single move that you can unlock in the skill tree, or every single ability or effect you can unlock in the skill tree, like you can activate, it's like a dedicated tutorial just for that one thing, and kind of really get a feel for it, which I thought was cool. yeah, and the enemy cool. designs are like super grotesque and all very like interesting and different. Like
we love
my favorite enemy is this like basically just like a big starfish squid thing with like a humanoid part just like flopping around at the back of it, and like it can disguise itself, and the only way to like find it when you're battling it and it goes camouflage is to use the like standard like environmental scan button that you have to look for items and stuff. So it kind of mixes in different mechanics that way. So it's, yeah, right. It's really cool.
Did you get a sense of the boss fights as well? Did you get to experience one of
those? Yeah, there's one boss fight at the end of the stage, and then there's like an optional one you can do when you finish the demo.
Okay.
And they're both like pretty like standard. They're not like really like massive kind of semi souls kind of bosses. They're just like bigger dudes. So it'll be interesting to see how they evolve over time.
Okay. So has it kind of, I'm kind of guessing it's left you more excited for the full release game, but you're still a bit trepidatious about the quality of the final thing?
No, I think the only thing that I'm not sure about so far is the narrative, because okay. it kind of definitely has like more style over substance. But I think like, considering all the like huge narrative heavy games I've played lately, maybe that's like okay, I wouldn't mind just switching off and watching like a bunch of like big titted anime dolls beating up aliens.
Whoa, like, okay.
Like I mean that's what it is, like it's very fair like enough. It's very unashamed in that, like, but yeah, it's a good time. Like yeah, I'm more excited for it than I thought I would be after having played it.
Right. I do have a somewhat unrelated confession to make. I'm struggling with Final Fantasy, Kieran. It's just not getting me like as excited as I want to be. And it's not down to the story or the characters. It's just like down to a couple of really laborious like sections of the game. Like the whole, is it like Junon section where you're like trying to get your parade party all together and prevent the thing? I was like, I could not give two shits about this. I do not want this at all. Like I just kind of frowned my way through that whole sequence. And then I'm like, cool, thank God I'm through that. Throw me back into some combat. Let's go. And it's like, lol jokes, you're at a beach resort now. Oh, actually, you know what? I played some of the Queen's Blood on the boat first. That was kind of sick. I was about that. But still, I was like, give me some more combat. Let's go. Brief fight on the boat. Not going into too much detail, glossing over things. And then you get to the freaking beach, and I've got to go and do like a bunch of beach activities to get beach tokens to buy beach bathers. Like, what is this game? What?
Yeah, that's Final Fantasy, man.
Yeah.
I need pace. I need, like, excitement in my life, you know? I don't want to go off shopping for togs.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't resonate with that stuff, there's a lot of it. So I can see how that would be difficult.
There's more to come. Like, I'm kind of hoping this was a low point.
Oh, I definitely think that is... Is there more to come? I mean, there's, like, the gold saucer stuff,
Okay. If it's not Queen's Blood or boss fights, like, I'm out.
I feel like that's. I feel like you are in kind of the longest sequence of that stuff.
Right. Yeah. I'd kind of wish the minigames were, like, there as kind of fan service, and if you wanted to, like, take part in them, you could. But to kind of, like, be forced into a few, I've been a bit peeved about, if I'm honest.
That's fair.
Anyhow. That's my Final Fantasy rant. I don't want to take away from your Stellar Blade preview. Do go and check that out over on the website or play the demo for yourself, because by the time you're listening to this, chances are it's out. I think I have one more topic for us to discuss. No, I don't. I have a rapid-fire question. Leaked images of a white all-digital Xbox Series X have been appearing online, which has prompted a two-part rapid-fire question today. Ooh. So make sure you're paying attention. Question one, are you ready to go all digital? And question two, what is your preferred color for a console, a games console? Harry, let's start with you.
No, I'm not ready to go all digital. I don't think I ever will be. And my preferred color for a games console is probably black.
Yeah, I'm the same with you. Prices are kind of still tend to be a little bit cheaper for physical releases here in Australia. So that's my preference too. And black. Like, my entire entertainment system is black. I want to keep it that way. Sorry, that wasn't very rapid fire of me, Kieran.
No, I'm not. I am already mostly all digital, but I would never want to give up the option. And I think white.
Ooh.
But also, like, maybe crystal, like translucent.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. That Days of Play PS5, PS4 they did was super nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Was that the blue one?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
The blue, and it had the gold accents.
Yeah. I had that PS4. I loved it.
I've got, it's great. I had one of those as well with the gold accent. Yeah.
Would it work? No, it really would not work on the PS5 at all, because, like, underneath it inside, it's all, like, just the vapor chamber, like, cooling and stuff. You would just see a large sheet of metal.
Yeah.
All right. Now it is time for What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with the round concluding after someone has backed themselves 2 points. Last week's winner was Harry, who lifted himself off the bottom of the leaderboard to come tied with Kieran in fourth place with 4 points apiece. Big moves. Brody is just ahead on 6 points. Shannon and I are tied in second place on 7 points. And James is in the lead on 12.
Not for long.
James is away. So this is moving season, so to speak. If we are going to try and close this gap, like, we have to try and, like, earn some serious points in the time that he's away. So I reckon we just do 2 podcasts a week while he's away. And we really just, like, milk it.
Delegate sweets for every podcast.
But Harry, as last week's winner, you are the host today. Take it away.
Okay. Is everyone ready?
Yeah, it's just us.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a real head to head.
Yeah, I've only got 3 games because I only need 3.
I hope you've picked games that I know.
Yeah, either of you could get this, I think. Okay, I tried to be
cool.
All right. The first game has combat that is turn based mixed with deck building, similar to that found in Slay the Spire. Each hero, including the player hero, has their own customizable deck of 8 cards. At the start of each mission, players are allowed to choose 3 heroes to take into battle, with their decks combined into one that is to be drawn from each round. The cards represent abilities that may affect their enemies or the player's own heroes. Heroes may also move or interact with objects in addition to making attacks. Between combat missions, players manage their upgradable base of operations called the Abbey, which they can walk around in third person. Yes, Kieran?
Is it Marvel's Midnight Suns?
It is Marvel's Midnight Suns.
I had an inkling, and then as soon as you said Abby, I was like...
Abby, yeah. All right, game 2. This one might go a bit longer. The game is a fighting game in which players compete in battle using characters with different fighting styles and special attacks. The game features tag team-based gameplay similar to previous installments of the series. Players select teams of 3 characters to engage in one-on-one combat. Yes, Kieran?
This is just going to be a... No. I shouldn't have said anything. Is it Marvel vs. Capcom?
Which one?
Oh,
what did you say?
I said 3.
Yes, it is 3.
Damn it! That's a clean sweep for Kieran. Holy moly. That which moves him up to 7 points and tied with Shannon and I. Holy smokes.
Thanks,
it is
James.
Moving season. I did not have a look in there at all. I should have clued in that they were Marvel games sooner rather than later. That was a regret. Well done,
there you
Kieran.
Go.
With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. A really kind of sharp, tight, punchy one today. I guess that makes a difference when you don't have 4 people on waffling away. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Visit at press.au. Follow us at press.au. And visit us at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Kieran.
You can follow me on X. It's HASH_BRAUN.
And I would say doing a marvelous job of hosting What the Wiki, but I kind of feel like he could have picked some games that were a bit more suited to his old pal Ewan. It was Harry.
Yeah, you can follow me on X at Harry_Kallo, KALO.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in, and until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.